Many of the ones who are in the 60s passing the torches to the next younger generation so they can take over the pulpit, and they choose to work behind the scenes as a supporting role for that young senior pastors. Though I am only mid 50s, I must start to raise the next generation if the Lord's hours is different than ours. We are hoping that rapture would happen right now, preferably, or maybe next couple days. But if His time is much different, much later than now, then we have to think about what's going to happen when I kick the bucket. The Calvary Chapel of Sarita need to continue. And with the same conviction, with the same strong mindset for the Word of God. And so I have to cultivate the next generation. A couple years ago, a young man from our youth group came to me and we were mingling around. And he said, "Pastor Juno, you're old." So I was thinking, thanks. And he said, "You're going to retire pretty soon, so I'm going to take over your job." I didn't know whether I should bop his head for calling me old fogey or should I pat on his back for his eagerness. So I said, "Yeah, the thing is, you have to study hard. This is how much I studied," and I told him about how many hours I studied for the Thursday night service and how much I study on Sunday morning. And then what the other things that you have to give up, a lot of worldly things, because I know about him, that you have to give up the worldly things to be a more godly, to have a more godly life. He looked at me and said, "Okay," and he walked away. He no longer asking me about being a pastor. I guess that pretty much ended his career for being a pastor. Maybe he thought I only walk a couple hours a week, and so Thursday night and Sunday morning. If you believe that, I have bridged to sell it to you. Tonight we are going to see the two important parts of the book of Deuteronomy. The future of the Israel after the people of the nation realize that their disobedience and the sin against the Lord. Second thing is the inauguration of the new leader, Joshua. I know that for several weeks, several studies, it's been tedious because the nature of the laws. Only people who get excited about that is a couple of attorneys in our church. When we talk about laws, they get all excited. But the rest of us kind of deal looking at headlight. So what? Okay, let's get over this. Let's get to the juicy part. But we had to go through that to understand what God wants people to do. So we'll stop there and then we'll pray. Heavenly Father, as Mark prayed, we can cast all our anxiety upon you because you care for us. How true it is that we can trust our unknown future to all-knowing God. Because you know the future and everything is inside of your palm of a hand. Nothing escapes. And all things are bare and naked in front of your sight. The people of Israel did not trust their unknown future to you. We are learning from their mistakes, that we may not repeat the same mistake as they did. Let us remember this portion, this important study tonight, that we may take heed. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 30, please. "Now it shall come to pass that when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you." Verse 2, "And you return to the Lord your God and obey His voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity. and have compassion on you, and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest part under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your father possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. So often in the scriptures that we find the thunderous voice of God for the punishment, and that's the same God who brings the gentle healing voice with the hope. No nation in history has suffered more than the nation of Israel, yet no other nation has given so much spiritual wealth like the Israel. Under the inspiration of God, Moses knew that Israeli people were going to disobey God and sin against the Lord and commit practicing the idolatry. And he knew that they're going to be dispersed all over the world. My daddy taught me one thing. There's two races around the world you will find anywhere in any country. One is Chinese, because the sheer number of them. If you've been in a foreign country, you will find a Chinese restaurant in just about every country. I went to Bulgaria, guess what? There is a Chinese restaurant. And you will also find the Jewish people in that country as well. No writer could write a better script than the actual history of them, Israel. You talk about drama. From the pinnacles of the God's physical presence with the people, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, not to mention the King David, who was a great king, even though he had a few problems. And then from that pinnacle to the deeply troubled valley, remember that it's after Solomon, kingdom was divided into northern kingdom Israel, southern kingdom Judah. And then they end up in the exile in the Babylon. After that, there was a persecution by Rome for a long time. And other nations, pretty much as they come and go to the one from the northern side of the world, their known world, when they go down to the Egypt, they had to pass through the Israel, and they destroyed everything inside. And when they Egyptian was to retaliate the northern kingdom, they passed through the Israel and destroyed everything in the side. So this country was being constantly bombarded by the foreign nations' attack. If that's not enough, we all know the Holocaust. 6 million Jewish peoples lost their lives by the Nazi Germany. And now, nation of Israel standing all by itself against all the odds. Literally, every country around the world hates Israel. Wonder why? When you think about it, not many countries can stand it the way they do. Thanks to our president, who is always for the Muslim countries, but he despises Israel. He doesn't mind bowing down practically half to the ground in front of the Saudi king, but he will not listen to the prime minister of Israel. Moses is here looking for the time that when Israel will repent and turn from their wicked ways and come back to the Lord. Bible scholars disagree about the future of Israel. Some say the church is now a spiritual Israel. It's no longer physical Israel is no longer the one get blessed by God. This theology, And this theology is known as replacement theology. The late Dr. D. James Kennedy from Coral Ridge Ministry, he was the central figure of this theology. Though I have a great deal of respect for this godly man, he was wrong on this. Others say the Old Testament promise must be taken face value and we should expect the fulfillment of them when the Jesus Christ returned to establish his kingdom on earth. In other words, Israel will receive God's blessing as is stated in the Bible. Allow me to explain why the replacement theology is wrong. Moses seemed to be the speaking here and about Israel and not about another people of God in future, such as church. The church has no covenant relationship. This is the key point. Church does not have a covenant relationship as Israel had in the land of Israel. Okay? Go back to verse 4, please. If any of you driven out to the farthest part of under heaven, from there the Lord will bring you, the Lord your God will gather you, and from there you he will bring you. And then verse 5, this is another important thing. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land, get that, anywhere, somewhere in the world. Is that what they say? No. Which your father possessed. Did you know, after the World War II, before 1948, England offered a land in Uganda, Africa, to the Israeli people. You can settle there. But that would not be their father once possessed. The Israeli people wisely said no. And they said that we want this little sliver of land. And they got it. And the church has no covenant relationship with Israel, and God gave them land to Abraham and his descendants according to Genesis chapter 15. And blessings and curses were declared to Israel, not the church. You with me on that? That's very important. Don't let the replacement theology confuse you. It is obvious that it will be a literal fulfillment of this promise to Israel. When they repent, turn back to God and the Jehovah God, and open their hearts to the operation of His Spirit according to Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. I want you to read that because it's quite a length. And Isaiah 11, 2 and Joel 2, 28 through 29. God will save them from their sins and establish them in the Messiah glorious kingdom. See, what we read from verse 1 through 6 is not going to happen immediately. It's happening throughout the 20th century and 21st century and through tribulation and millennium time. Until 1948, biblical scholars doubted that this would ever happen because there's no nation Israel. All of a sudden, there's a country started from the dead country, just like remember Ezekiel 37, and God prophesied to the Ezekiel and prophesied to this dry bone in the land, in the desert field. And all of a sudden, Ezekiel heard a bone cracking sound and banging each other, and there you see the muscles being laid on the top of the bones and tendon and skin, but yet they did not have a breath. And God said, prophesy that they would have a breath. And he did. And God's life literally came down upon these people and became a great army. Guess what? Israeli military is the fourth strongest, most powerful military in the world. You know what's the difference between their military and other military around the world? Only reason why they are fourth is not because they don't have enough power. They have enough power. because they don't have enough resource. The thing is, other country military will fight for the political reason, will fight for the economical reason, they will fight for the religious reason. But the Israel military will fight for survival. When the military fight for survival, it makes all the difference in the war. It's not about the political agenda, it's not about the religious agenda. It's mere sheer survival. Move down to verse 11, please. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into the heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, and that we may hear and do it. Verse 14, the word is very near you. Underline, highlight, arrow pointing to that thing. The word is near you. In your mouth, in your heart, that you may do it. Since all of us born with the free will to choose, the Lord calls us to make the right decision. We are not a robot. We are not a cookie cutter robot. We can hear the God's word and learn His will and decide whether to obey or disobey according to our own desire. To make sure that we have a clear guidance, the Lord made His word available to all of us. We don't have to go to heaven to learn His truth, nor do we have to do anything special to achieve any spiritual and emotional level to obtain this truth. It is readily available through the Bible. And I actually didn't write correctly. Just about anyone. It should be just simply saying, for everyone who seeks the truth. There is no exception. Everyone. Even the Satanists can find the truth, as long as they seek the truth. May I change the slide? Apostle Paul quotes a passage in verse 12 in his epistle to the Roman Christian to chapter 10, verse 6 through 10, to prove that righteousness isn't obtained by the doing great feat, but by exercising simple faith in Jesus Christ. Simple faith. Now go down to the verse 15 of chapter 30, please. Chapter 30, verse 15. See, I have set before you today the life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandment, His statutes, and His judgment, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, then and are drawn away to worship other God and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call the heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, and both you and your descendants may live. Doesn't that sound similar to what the last address, last speech by Joshua? This day, what was that thing? In chapter 25, for me and my house will serve the Lord. 24:18. Okay, thank you. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the Lord, which the Lord swore to your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and give them. See, the biggest choice that person can make in one's life is deciding his eternal destiny, eternal life or eternal death. But who in their right mind would deliberately choose death? To much our surprise, the majority of people do. They choose death because they think that it is the right thing to do. Oh yeah, they do right thing. They eat right, they exercise right, they do everything right. They take the right medication to extend their lives. I heard that somebody did a calculation. The person who do all this, to exercise right and eat right, and eat right, take the right medication, lives between the 2 to 5 years longer. Bob said the 3 years. So I was close, 3 to 5 years and 3 years, or 3 years. Not much longer than their normal other people's lives. Have you ever heard that joke? It's a heaven joke. This old couple died, and they lived a long life because his wife was a rather strong will, and she pretty much told him what kind of food he should eat, and all the healthy food. They lived up to 80 something, and they just had a car accident, and they both died at the same time. They went up to heaven, of course. Guess who met them at the gate? Saint Peter, of course. He's the gate guard. Anyway, he said, okay, this is your mansion, and this is your golf course. And it changes every day, brand new golf course and a different golf course. There is no such a thing as a boredom there. And then they walk down to the dining hall, and there is this buffet line. You cannot even see the end of the line and the table. All this food, he said, oh yeah, the good thing about this, you can eat all you want. You don't have to gain the weight. You're not going to get sick. All of a sudden, this old man threw his head down on the ground, started stomping and throwing temper tantrum beyond what anybody can realize. And when he barely catch his breath, he said, "You and you were brand muffin. If we didn't have that food, we could be here a lot sooner." You know, but the thing is, all that exercise and all that, okay, you may have a better life, healthier life, but not much longer. What's more important, physical, and again, the Bible says, physical exercise profit little. With all that, you know, all that exercise people do on Sunday morning, as I come to church, I see them. They're running, jogging, exercising. And I'm just hoping that, you know, I hope that you went to church the night before, or maybe you'll go to church after you take a shower soon. I feel sorry for them who only can think about physical goodness and neglect spiritual goodness. Apostle Paul quoted this passage, and where am I? Okay, I went too far. I'm sorry. No, I was right. Many of them disregard God's truth for the sake of acceptance from fellow humans. The one thing that truly matters to the majority of people, you cannot see? Acceptance from the fellow humans. They want to be accepted. Let's go to the verse 1 of chapter 31. Then Moses went and spoke this word to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Don't think that he is a handicapped person. And later, in chapter 33, he go up to the mountaintop, Mountain Nebo, all the way to the top. And 120 years old, his eye did not dim, his strength did not worn out. probably he could beat us in the running as well. 120 years old today, and I can no longer go out and come in. And also the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. Note that, please, before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. And Joshua himself crossed over before you, just as the Lord has said. In chapter 20 of Numbers, verse 7 through 12, Moses misrepresented God to the assembly. Remember when they were out of water, and they, of course, they do what they do best. They do what they do best, the complaining, right? We don't have water, so let's stone Moses. When Moses was angry at people, he talked to God, and God said, you speak to the rock that followed them around for all that year. You speak to that rock, that water will come out. Moses got the message, and he went to the people, and he raised his staff and struck the rock twice. Number one, he misrepresented God's grace. Number two, he disobeyed God himself. And the consequences of that, God told him, you will not take this assembly to the promised land. After 40 years of this nagging people, and now he cannot cross that river, Jordan River. Bummer. Let's go to the chapter 20, verse 12, please. Numbers, one book before. When the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me and to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Yeah, I ask you to note the word that go before God. God will go before them. Nothing is better than the Lord is going before us. He will take care of everything in our path. That doesn't mean that we will have a trouble-free path, but it would be arranged by Him for His glory. If there is any issue and trouble, still those troubles are arranged by God. All we have to do is simply obey His command and follow His footsteps. Like following the mind-detecting operator, mind-detecting device operator. Have you ever seen that in the movie? They have a little disc on the bottom and they have a long pole. They sweep back and forth. And the person who do that, or the person who is following has a little flag normally. They put the flag on the ground. That means this is a safe path. Don't think that you can walk out off the path. That's what happened in the minefield. The mine operator goes in the front and the guys put the flag and the rest of the troops will follow exactly the minefield operator went. That's what we are supposed to do. When God said, go this way, you follow me, we're supposed to follow Him. Am I making sense to you? Don't think that, oh, God, I know what you're thinking, but I know about this area. I can do it by myself. Not really. Have you ever done that before? Oh yeah, you have. We all have. Verse 7. Don't act like you never done that before. Then the Moses called Joshua and said to him, now this is the inauguration of Joshua as the next leader. In the sight of all Israel, be strong and of the good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit. The Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Where you heard that before? Hebrews 13:5. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Joshua is not a stranger to the Israeli people, because he's been serving them well since they left Egypt. He was a Moses servant long before he became a Moses successor. He proved himself. Remember, he is the one who is leading the troops fight against the Amalekite. And he is the one who was with Moses in Mount Sinai while he was receiving Ten Commandments on the mountaintop. And he is the one who went to the land of Canaan with the 12 spies and returned with the great news. In the work of the Lord, there is no substitute for the godly leadership. There is no substitute for the godly leadership. As Moses did with Joshua, and Christ with his disciples, and Paul with Timothy and Titus, the older generation must equip the younger generation to take their places. The Lord has given us the qualification for the leaders in the church in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, elders and deacons. We must give ourselves to mentoring and training qualified people to become those leaders. You know, to be honest with you, when I see the younger generation Christians, my heart aches for them because they're selfish. And the only thing they can think about is themselves, everything, the whole world revolves around them. And they're more often compromising the Christian truth for the sake of popularity. Instead of bad-mouthing about them, we should mentor them, we should lead them to the right path so they may be strong. And think about yourself. When you were 25 or 30, what was your spiritual life like? When I was 25, I was a heathen, complete heathen. So if I see some snobby Christian 25 years old, he's in better shape than I was. So why am I complaining about it? Am I making sense to you? Instead of chastising them, encourage them to come to Christ closer. With your knowledge, with your wisdom, with your experience, teach them, encourage them, and mentor them. The final test of the leader is that he leaves behind him in other men the conviction and the will to carry on. I'm hoping that the Lord, as I said before, the rapture time is farther behind than what we are hoping. I'm hoping that the Lord will bring this younger person, much younger person, who will take over this pulpit with the same conviction or stronger conviction, stronger determination to follow God. The leader must not only be qualified, they also must be proved and prepared. Joshua proved himself first as a servant. Now the Lord is appointing him, and Moses is commissioning him. If you notice, there's no committee. I tell you, sometimes I shudder when I find that all the churches do is a committee, committee, committee. I understand there is a wise counsel in the multitude. But sometimes it's nothing more than bickering. Verse 9. So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priest. The sons of Levi who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacle, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place of which He chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women, and the little ones, and the strangers who is within your gate, and they may hear, that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess. During his 40 long years in the wilderness, his ministry, Moses kept the record of what God has done, what God has said, which turned into the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's known as Pentateuch, the first law of the Old Testament. And he deposited that record with the priest who carried the Ark of Covenant. In future years, Israel kings are required to read that, actually handwrite, copy the whole thing, and keep it with him. Hearing God's word, meditating on it, and obeying it was the best remedy against apostasy. Unfortunately, after the death of Moses and Joshua, people of Israel listened to the false prophets and turned aside from God's truth and practiced idolatry. Do you know when that period was? Judges. Remember, at the end of Judges, people did what it was right in their own sight. Just like America now. They really didn't care what the people, you know, nowadays I have to make it in about 35 minutes on Sunday morning, otherwise people start to doing this and, yeah, sign at me and say, hey, you gotta cut it off now. Do you know Pastor Chuck Smith? He goes on for an hour and a half. And the congregation I used to was, and if he finished it before 1 hour, he said, oh, that was short. And also, if you go to Jewish, the Messianic Jewish church, try that. When you have a lot of time, try that on Sunday morning. See how many hours you have to stay in that place. They start with a reading the scripture. And that goes on for an hour. 1 hour. Okay? And then they sing for an hour. And they take a break and come back and they do the teaching. That this teaching is not real actual teaching. This is just prologue. And they have a lunch. And then they go into the real teaching. And by the time they finish here, it's around 4 o'clock. And you complain about me going longer? I don't want to hear it anymore. Yes, Bubba. Jerry Hemby was the first one to say, shut up, preacher. There is an important lesson here for the church today, because the Lord has given His people the truth of His word, and we must guard it, obey it, and pass it along to the next generation. The Church of Jesus Christ is always one generation short of extinction. Do you understand me? When the next generation don't take the strong conviction and will of God from the previous generation, they will not learn. So it's important that each believer studies the scripture and receive the truth and pass it to the new younger generation. As you guys know that I'm going to babysit my grandson pretty soon, and from the about a month now, I cannot wait to read the Bible. Huh? What?
She goes, neither can we.
You know what? Get used to it. Because when I have a story, I will come up with a more story on Sunday morning and Thursday night.
We're taking bets on how long this lasts.
As a Christian, you're not supposed to bet.
Sure,
you are sinning.
Have you got life insurance? Have you got life insurance?
Oh, yeah.
That's a bet.
Now, listen. It is important for us to teach our children and grandchildren about the Word of God. It is our obligation, passing the torch. Applications. Number one, the final test of the leaders is that he leaves behind him on the other man the conviction and the will to carry on. Second application, leaders must not only be qualified, but they also must be prepared and proved. Third application, hearing God's word, meditating on it, and obeying it is the best remedy against apostasy. Hearing is not good enough, and meditating on it is not good enough. You must obey. You cannot just obey without hearing it and meditating it. All three have to go together. You with me? All right, let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Let us hear your word. We receive the word, Father. Let us meditate upon it. Now let us obey. You bring the younger generation in our presence. If we already have them as our children and grandchildren, let us pass that rich heritage of your truth to them. And if we see the people, younger people in our church, let us minister to them as the one who's been there, done that, and with our mistakes, with our good works, let us explain to them in love. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.